Could Harley-Davidson be making a comeback? It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 28th day of April. Thanks for being with us. The GDP report for the first quarter of the year is due out tomorrow. Watch out. Only about one half of Americans say they'll be able to pay the full month's rent in May. Workers say they were fired because they wanted to start a union, and they're not alone. The $500 billion big business bailout, with no strings attached, is coming. Malls are set to reopen. We'll check the markets and a conversation about worker grief and the leadership necessary to understand it. It's with Ro Crosby of Tarot International, but first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company, at oasisahr.com. Tarot International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that. We are at @IOB_NewsHour. Well, Harley-Davidson's stock surged today following the disclosure of a new plan to breathe life into the faltering company. How? By cutting costs and complexity. The stock rose as much as 17% after the unveiling of a strategy dubbed the Rewire, which Morgan Stanley analyst Adam Jonas said would make Harley one of the few manufacturers to grow profits in the coming years. Zoltan Zeitz, a board member and former CEO of sporting goods maker Puma SE, took over as acting CEO at the end of February. In an earnings call today, he said that he's dialing back the former turnaround plan and leaning into achievable plans and realistic goals. So what's he going to do? Well, he's slashing costs and borrowing money to ensure Harley can weather the storm. Zeitz said the company will save $250 million this year by freezing hiring, reducing salaries, trimming capital expenditures, and retiming product launches. It's also halting share repurchases. Harley stock was up by over 15%. The stock had plunged by 49% this year through yesterday's close. A report due out tomorrow on the economy's severe contraction in the first 3 months of this year will provide a snapshot of the early damage wrought by the pandemic. However, analysts say the numbers we'll see tomorrow will not be as bad as what will come out when this quarter is reported. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg estimate the Commerce Department will report that gross domestic product fell an annual rate of 3.8% in the first quarter. That would be the steepest drop since the depths of the Great Recession in early 2009. Now keep in mind, the economy didn't come off the rails until mid-March, when states began shutting down non-essential businesses like restaurants and most stores and movie theaters to contain the spread of the virus. That added to travel and leisure industry that was already at a virtual standstill. So stay tuned. So how bad are things today? A recent study says that only half of our population will be able to pay the full month's rent in May. That's according to a new survey that finds 12% of renters do not expect to pay rent at all in May, 15% expect to pay partial rent in May, and another 21% said they don't know yet. The percentage saying that they are confident they'll have the funds for full rent are 52%, but that was lower than the 69% who said they could pay April's rent. Income losses related to COVID-19 have hit 63% of renters across the nation, with 48 describing the losses as devastating. According to the survey, 4 in 10 renters say they plan to move in the next 6 months. The survey was conducted between April 10th and the 16th and was among 20,000 Americans by Apartment.com and Grace Hill, a property management technology and education provider. Well, what happens to American workers who want to organize and start a union? Here's a story out of New Jersey. Truck drivers and warehouse workers at Court Furniture Rental in New Jersey spent months trying to unionize in the hopes of securing higher wages and better benefits. By early this year, they thought they were on the cusp of success. But when the coronavirus arrived, Court, which is owned by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, laid off its truck drivers and replaced them with contractors. That, according to workers at the plant. The union plans were over. According to interviews with more than two dozen workers, labor activists, and employment lawyers, American companies appear to be taking advantage of the coronavirus crisis to target workers who are in or hope to join unions and get rid of them. Some examples? Well, nurses in North Carolina accused Mission Hospital, which is owned by the for-profit hospital chain HCA Healthcare, of using the pandemic to delay a union election. At OVO Fine Arts, that's a company that packages and transports art for wealthy individuals and galleries, workers said that they were laid off as punishment for trying to unionize last year. Everlane, the online clothing company, laid off much of its customer service team 4 days after a small number of its members informed the company's chief executive that they had enough support to form a union. The company that owns the Plain Dealer newspaper in Cleveland this month laid off journalists who were in a guild and increased its reliance on non-unionized workers. Companies say the layoffs are legitimate responses to an extraordinary economic crisis that has left many businesses on the cusp of collapse. And they're not punishing people for unionizing. Unionized employers tend to be more expensive, and getting rid of them can be an especially potent cost-cutting move. Meanwhile, according to the Washington Post, the federal government is planning to lend large corporations $500 billion, and those corporations will not be required to limit executive pay or retain any workers. The Federal Reserve Program is expected to hit within the next week. According to an internal memo acquired by CNBC, the biggest mall owner in the United States is preparing to open a number of its properties across the country as states like South Carolina and Georgia start to reopen. Simon Property Group is reopening 49 of its malls and outlet centers between May 1st and May 4th, according to the memo. That would include places in South Carolina, Greenville, and Lenox Square in Atlanta. Simon says it will encourage, but not enforce, shoppers to take their temperatures before going to the mall. It said it will encourage individuals to wear masks or some sort of facial coverings while they shop. Simon is, however, mandating that its employees wear masks while they are working and to take frequent breaks for hand washing. The states with the most malls opening will be in Texas, Georgia, and Indiana. Stocks ended lower today after a volatile session as a decline in big tech shares took the wind out of a market rally that was sparked by optimism over a potential reopening of the U.S. economy. The Dow closed 32 points lower, snapping a four-session winning streak, and closed at 24,101. The S&P 500 slid 0.5% to 2863, but it was the NASDAQ that lost 1.4% or 122 points to settle at 8607. All three indexes were up more than 1% earlier in the day. So what happened to tech? Well, Alphabet shares fell by 3% ahead of its latest earnings release. However, the report that hit after the bell showed that first quarter earnings of $6.8 billion or $9.87 a share compared with $6.6 billion or $9.50 a share a year ago sent the stock up by more than 3% in after-hours trading. Meanwhile, Facebook dropped 2.5%, Amazon slid 2.6%, Netflix shares fell 4.2%, and Apple lost 1.6% on the day's trade. And finally, there is this. Since President Trump declared a national emergency due to coronavirus pandemic, 22 million Americans have filed for unemployment. States affiliated with Trump's political party are seeing the highest increase in unemployment claims, that according to a study from WalletHub. The states that are least impacted? Well, for one, Oregon, a blue state with two Democratic senators. Now, it may not be so surprising that fewer Republicans, like 61% of them, than Democrats at 94%, told the Kaiser Family Foundation they support the COVID-19 shutdown. That was from a recent poll. And last week, thousands of pro-Trump supporters took to the streets in Michigan and other states to protest stay-at-home orders. So, what states are the most impacted? Well, the state with the highest increase in unemployment is New Hampshire. Now, that's a blue state that saw unemployment claims increase by 6%. Next is red state Louisiana with a 5.2% increase. Red state Georgia saw a 4.8% increase in unemployment. Kentucky, another red state, saw its unemployment rise by 4.5%. And North Carolina, another red state, had its unemployment increase by 4.4%. Just some numbers to chew on. Coming up next, an interesting and informative conversation with the founder, CEO, and president of Tarot International about the link between the five stages of grief and what we're seeing among employees. Ro Crosby is going to be with us. The lesson learned? What can leaders do about it? And that is just a click away.